This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I will take the brain microchip if it means never forgetting a person's name again. Hashtag too many brunettes.
Yeah, I feel that one a little bit too hard. I'm Brandy Posey, and go tease for when you want everyone to know that you take fashion cues from the devil.
I'm Tess Barker, and I am paying a handsome amount each month for the cloud to house 879,653,284 different versions of the same photo of my dogs.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Is that the actual number, Tess?
No, just so specific. I know. I just kind of typed random numbers, but it feels like it's close.
Feels right.
It's close. Yeah. Because and we talked about it the other day, but like they're so good at becoming puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
They are so good at finding different nooks and crannies, and every time it happens, I have to take a picture of it.
Of course.
No, yeah, you have to. And yeah. I'll also take a bunch of pictures of Jackie, and then even in that set of photos, I'm like, well, these four are perfect, and they're the exact same picture, but why would I delete them? I have a finite amount of photos of my dog. I will have all of them.
Yeah. Also, like, I have this, it's similar to the vibe of when I'm laying down and one of the cats gets on me and is cuddling, and I'm like, well, I can't.
You can't move.
Like, it's like, this will obviously never happen again.
Yeah, I'm
here forever.
Exactly. This is the day. This is what the day is now.
Yeah. It's fine. It's a great excuse to not do anything.
Yeah.
Do we have any announcement? You know, we should announce our Patreon. We haven't talked about that for a second. We have a really great Patreon, everybody. We deliver, okay?
Call us Domino's, track us. We're delivering.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we do bonus episodes every month. We do ad-free episodes. You can get those for both $5 a month. If you do $10 a month, we do actually a weekly extra segment called Beef of the Week, where we talk about what's bugging us that week or just random other shit.
I've got one this week, just as a little teaser for the listener, about a man named the Dutchman. So Patreon.com/ladytolady if you want to find out more about that, because I'll never mention it on the main feed.
This is where the stuff we don't want on the main feed hides. So if you want that, $10 a month, not that much
to hear our
deepest, darkest secrets.
No.
And then we have other options, $20 a month. You can have a Discord chat with us and all the other stuff we already mentioned. So go check it out, patreon.com/ladytolady. We really do, you know, put out a lot of extra fun stuff on there for
you. We put out.
Yeah, come on over, say hi. It's a great community. We love it over there. And also follow on our website. We have all of our tour dates and everything coming out. Whenever we're doing shows all over the place. At the end of this month is the next Picture This in Los Angeles, which is March 25th, last Saturday of the month. And we also live stream that. So if you are interested in watching it and you can't make it to LA, it's available online.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go do all that stuff. You know, while you're listening to this wonderful episode. Mm-hmm.
This was a blast.
So fun.
I love this gal so much. I am very proud to call her a new friend. Every time you make a new friend, like as you get older, it's just like, I did it. I can still
it's truly a miracle. Yeah.
She's amazing. She's an insanely talented fashion designer, hard worker, completely self-made, badass lady. Enjoy our conversation with Haley Soler. Nailed
Ooh,
it.
Oh, your finger. Ooh.
Oh, God. Wait, what? You have a broken finger and you did the clap in with us. Girl, you did not need to do that.
I got to do what it takes.
Like, your commitment is what we're looking for here at Lady to Lady.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is our
guest.
Yeah,
we're here. We've broken her in the first 15 seconds of the podcast.
What Haley happened? Soler. Is this, oh Haley Soler, welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited. Love you all.
What's going on with your finger? What happened?
Oh, well, I thought it wasn't enough to break my toe, that I would also break my finger literally 20 minutes after getting off the phone call with my doctor about my broken toe. I slammed my finger in a car door.
Oh, the worst.
It was... probably one of the worst. I mean, it was really painful. I don't want to compare it to other people's pain, but it was pretty insane.
That's very
I had
painful.
To unlock the door to open it and get it out, if that gives you any indication.
Oh my God. Like,
my God.
Ooh.
Yeah, those nerve ending ones are like something special. It really like just sends like a shockwave of pain to your brain.
100%. And I was just talking to Tess about my broken toe, and you helped me find a doctor, which I'm going to go see. I'm just waiting on the paperwork.
Oh, yay. She's so great. So at least if you're both going to break your toes, you can share resources.
Yeah,
exactly.
It all goes full circle back to Lady. The whole conversation about seeing a doctor started with Tess.
It's wild when you do something like that, like the fingers in the door, especially because you're like, I've been on this planet so many years, and this is this thing I do all the time. And how did this time, did I do this? What the 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the shock for me wasn't even about the pain and the swelling and the scariness of it. Was more that what is happening with me mentally that I did that? And then I'm like self-torturing, being like, well, did I not eat enough? Am I being a mess? What about my other fingers? Am I just going to leave them in places everywhere I go?
little breadcrumbs leading back to you.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a one-stop shop for like mafia hits, just dropping little 100%. Pieces all over the place.
I literally made a rush appointment with my therapist because I just was like, I'm afraid I'm going to walk in front of traffic. I'm afraid to trip and fall. Like, everything is danger now.
Yeah. Sometimes you do notice the mind-body connection is a little off-kilter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. She recommended some meditation, which, of course, I've been really great at.
They always recommend meditation.
I mean, know. And is anyone actually great at it?
Yeah, if I meditated as often as I was recommended meditation, I mean, I don't know, would I even be sitting here? No. Like, I'd be hovering.
It's so easy to reject that idea of sitting still. Mm-hmm. She said, just 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ugh. I try for 30 seconds and I'm out. I'm like, I got stuff to do. I got fingers to trap in places.
Yeah, exactly. I still have all 10 of my digits. Thank you very much. Like, I don't think I need a full 5 minutes yet.
We just, me and my boyfriend just went to Big Sur, and like, it was kind of a random trip that he just had a few days off work, and we were like, oh, we should go somewhere. So we picked there because he hadn't been there in a while, and it was one of those trips where like we were having fun, but it wasn't, we both were kind of like not all, it was kind of that moment where you're like, all right, when are we going to call it? You know?
It's like, yeah.
Which important is like so moment. Important in no, a sure. partner, you know, you need to have that bucket thing at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like we got there and like, I don't think I realized it's like in the middle of the woods or, you know, it's like on the coast, but also in the woods, and our TV or our place didn't have a TV, and we were like, oh, so we're just like sitting there with each other and no Wi-Fi, and we were like, okay,
a little too present.
yeah And I was like, I wasn't prepared for like needing to connect with nature or myself vacation.
Get to know yourself.
Like, let's go home. We came home early.
You came home.
Oh my God.
Well, also everything was shut down. It was like completely off season. Literally, you couldn't get to the beaches or anything because of all the rain too.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like, everywhere we tried to go was like closed. And we're like, all right, this is is a sign. It was still nice. I mean, it's beautiful, but
of course.
Anyway, yeah. It just made me think of like meditation, where I was like, I was not prepared to like sit in silence at all.
Yeah, you went out on your time.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted hotel TV. That's what I was. That's the kind of meditation I was looking for.
It is its own kind of meditation.
Yeah, I would like to, like, I've tried to do morning pages before, but like, honestly, my hand just gets tired at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't physically hand write that much anymore. I wrote my boyfriend like a Valentine's Day card the other day, and it was long. And at the end, I was like, my hand hurts. Fuck this. I'm done.
It just turns into like a scrawl.
Exactly. I was just like, it just looks like a, like, it just looks like a schizophrenic has written this for you. By the end, I was just like drawing pentagrams all over it. Just, I can't. Fuck this. I love you. Whatever. My hand hurts.
Haley, so you're a fashion designer and you own, how many boutiques do you own? Two?
I have two boutiques. And then I wholesale to about 100 other boutiques.
Ooh, and I'm wearing one of my Haley shirts.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. I was going to say, are you planning any finger fashion? Are we going to see any capes or anything for the
That's, a tiny finger cape is not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. Mostly right now I've been doing wonderful things with saran wrap, like before one showers, bandaging, wrapping, a lot of that. Yeah. Felting so that it doesn't bang on things and vibrate. So a lot of that. But no, it's super fun having deadlines in the fashion business when your pointer finger is the swollen the size of your thumb. But I did get good news from, I had to see a surgeon who didn't want me to have surgery. And he said that he wants me to use my fingers. So it's okay to be sewing, because there was a mild freak out on that. So we do a lot
of actual
sewing. I'm sure.
That's like, yeah, that really makes you be like, oh God, this is very valuable.
Yeah. And I think too, like realizing, I'm sure we all like need to do this in our lives, how much I actually do in a day when I'm not able to do it, and how much I don't let anyone help me at all. I'm like, I got it. So being able to ask for help and not feel like an idiot or feel guilty, or really looking at stuff saying like, why do I do this? Like, I don't need to interview everyone. I don't need to run all these errands. I can let people do some stuff.
It's kind of
good, you know.
And it is that thing like of a forced pause.
A forced pause.
Yeah. Maybe that's why you injured your finger, because you're
after my toe. Because that one was, if I didn't get the point the first time.
Yeah.
It's the universe just telling you, ask for help, girl.
Yeah. It's like the universe being like, we're coming in for an eye next, so you better take a breath.
Oh, God.
Exactly. Just be careful with that finger out in the world. Because I remember when I got my, the first time I ever got fake nails put on, was for prom my senior year, and I broke off three of them playing ultimate frisbee, and I also gashed the side of my face. So I have a tiny cut in all of my prom photos right here.
From your own nail.
You can really see from my own nail. So just, you got a little extra on that finger, so be careful.
A little power there.
Yeah, a little extra going on that pointer. So just watch it.
Well, I my sister is going to kill me for sharing this with anyone, but one of the things the doctor told me is that you have to move your fingers when you have an injury, otherwise they'll lock up. And it reminded me that my sister, who's like just totally nuts, crazier than I am, in all the best ways, though. She's lovely. She kind of hurt her thumb, you know, just typing on the computer. And so she stopped moving it. So it locked up for a year.
Oh, shit.
Like, thumbs up. She had
a... Oh, man.
Force positivity.
That is so... I mean, awful, but so funny.
Yep. She had to go to physical therapy to get it down, but she was just walking around with a thumbs up to everyone, like on the street, saying, hey.
Like, I like that in the car when someone cuts you off, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Wow. That's my go-to above flipping people off in the car anyways. Like,
good job. I think that's a good... Okay.
Yeah. I like to, I'll just give them a tiny round of applause from time to time. If they're like there long enough, I'll just be like, congratulations. Yes, you've done it.
Yeah.
I do like a big smile. Someone did that to me once and I was like, whoa. So now whenever I am like feeling road rage, I just huge like smile. Like, hey. Yeah. And take it however you want it. Take it as fuck you. Take it as everything's okay. Like, take it as have a nice day, whatever. But it really throws people.
Did you guys see, I mean, sorry, this is dark, but this is the world we live in. There was like a guy in LA getting out and attacking people with a pipe.
Oh, yeah. In a Tesla, right?
In a Tesla. Yes, a gray Tesla,
he had like a gray Tesla.
And it was like just in Glendale, like not that far from us.
No, it was like, and it was like multiple people. There is video of him. One person, he's driven a guy off the side of the road, like on the freeway, and got out and tried to hit him with a pipe. And another guy who'd seen that started following the guy. And so on his dash cam, you see the guy get out of his Tesla and come back to the car and hit it with a pipe. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, what world are we in? It's crazy.
That's why I don't go above a smile and a thumbs
up. That's smart. That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a spree of like 10 of them in like a month or two. And then it stopped as far as I know. I don't know if he's been caught. But
I think they arrested him. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad they got the pipe, man.
Well, anyway, chill stuff happening.
I had the opposite of that happen a few months ago. There was a guy on foot trying to hit Teslas with a pipe. No kidding.
Oh, jeez.
And he was, I would go out and just say, hey, man. And he'd just go, oh, okay. And he would stop.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hey,
man.
Hey, I thought you were going to say, I had the opposite happen. Someone left me a lovely note and some flowers and thanked me for
this is LA. That's
my parking job.
Right in my their day.
No, someone taking it out on the Teslas. I like it.
They are everywhere. My neighborhood is rife with them.
Yeah, for real.
Haley, tell us about your life.
I want to know my life.
Yeah, like, you know, how you got into what you do and all that stuff.
Yeah, you're like, for those that don't know, you're like a freaking badass, awesome designer. Like, I adore you, all of the stuff that you make. Like, you've built, you're a completely self-built brand. Like, you're amazing. And how can we be like you?
Oh, stop. Thank you, guys. I started sewing when I was 5 years old. So this has been something that like has been with me forever. I didn't do it because I was obsessed with sewing. It was just that there was this toy in my house and I wanted to play with it. And it kind of became an obsession. So it's always been something I've wanted to do. And I've, you know, played around with different businesses and have had not much success in any of them. And about 7 years ago, I decided I wanted to get out of the wholesale world, which is basically designing and selling to other retailers. I spent so much time in post offices and trade shows. I just was not really loving my life. So I took a little bit of time off and inspired literally by Vanderpump Rules, I decided to get a job waitressing. Yes. I thought those guys are having so much fun and I'm having no fun. Can I go do this and actually get paid and have some cash in my pocket at the end of the day versus just constantly like struggling? So I got a job as a server at a restaurant in Studio City, and I worked there for a year. And during that time, I just wanted to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and think about what I loved. And what I loved was being with, didn't just love designing, but I also loved the customer interaction and being around people. And I really loved being a server. I loved getting to know what people needed and connecting with them. And so I did a lot of brainstorming and borrowed $1,000 from a friend of mine and paid him back with 20% interest and begged someone to give me a lease without having to do a hard credit pull. And opened a store. I worked every single day until 5 and then ran to my waitressing job and closed there. And I did that until I was able to build it up to a bigger space and then open up another location eventually and sort of build back in my own collection and, you know, work with a downtown factory. We do all of our fabrics are all upcycled. So there's very minimal amount of financial input per style because I don't have to buy 2,000 yards of something and make sure to sell so many of it and ship it back and forth across, you know, continents in order to get it made. Everything is made in small batches, very fair trade and ethical. So we sell that in our stores and then to other retailers.
Wow. So like you, I mean, I feel like we have a lot of listeners who find themselves sort of like at the position you were where you like decided to get the waitressing job? Like, how did you make that jump? Like, what would you say to that person who's sort of like in that position in their lives?
I mean, I think there were two things that were happening. I was in a relationship with someone who was very well connected in the Hollywood world and was, you know, living in a beautiful house in the Hollywood Hills and hanging out around a bunch of, you know, quote unquote celebs and connected people. And with that came a lot of ego, and I wanted to really project a certain thing, but it wasn't my life. It was his life that he had built. And for me, I left that relationship. It was not a good relationship for many reasons. And I had this privilege of being able to see how not important that stuff is. And what is important is making sure that I can feed and take care of myself. And that there's so much more pride in being able to take home a paycheck and work hard than there is in knowing the right person or going to the greatest party or living in the biggest house. And mm-hmm. for me, that I needed that shock to my ego of being able to just sling lasagna and put on an apron and get in touch with who I am as a human. That decision didn't just come from me needing to challenge that sort of LA world that I got into, but also just, you know, the basic things that cause a depression, which is not feeling in control of your life, not being able to move forward, not being able to pay your bills. All of that stuff for me was solved by just getting up and getting to work. And it doesn't matter what kind of work, just have fun, do it. And like, don't be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks. I feel like I'm started working part-time again at the job I had before the pandemic. And, you know, it's kind of tough because you're like, oh, like, I feel like I'm going backwards or something. But I also think that, yeah, obviously I'm making a paycheck, but it's also just like, it's humbling. And it's like, I enjoy it. Like, I like being around people. I like being out there. And when you are kind of making your own schedule, it's like important to give yourself, you know, to have shit to do and to have people to be like interacting with. And, so I really admire that, like, that you just kind of were like, fuck it. I need to like put this into my life.
Thank you. Awesome. And I do think inadvertently it was a test for the world on, instead of me wanting to be friends with everyone, for me, it was like this thing where now I get to let the world decide for me who's worth having in my life, because it's only people who don't care what I do for a living that are worth keeping around, who love me for me. And I try to treat people that same way. So I needed that in return. And I hadn't really demanded that of the world. And I think the best example of this, and I always try to tell this to like my young employees who, you know, get a little like wrapped up in the LA world, is there was a friend of mine who's a really huge producer. And I only knew her through my ex. And I only knew her at like, you know, our house up in the hills and celeb parties, et cetera, et cetera. And she walked in and sat in my section at Vitello's in Studio City. And of course, no one knew who she was because she's a producer. She's not, you know, a big celeb, yeah. But she's an awesome badass. And I started shaking and I was so embarrassed, like, oh God, I need to go up to this woman and read her the specials. The last time I saw her was a very different situation. And right. I was like, oh, and I walk up and I said, hey, how are you? And she stood up and she gave me the biggest hug. And she's like, aww. I'm so happy to see you. And she said, oh, you work here now. I mean, I love this place. Like, the food is great.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting together for drinks and we've been friends ever since. And that was someone that inadvertently passed this test that I didn't know that I needed to give people, which was like, are you a rad human? Do you not give a shit what I have or what I do? So.
Yeah, I think, totally. Like, also that sense of just being so true to yourself. I think that's what I like love so much about being in your store and about your clothes. Like, you have such a unique point of view. Your clothes are just so like fun and whimsical and like girly and like, I don't know, like you have a very specific vibe and a brand. And like, how did you sort of articulate that for yourself? And how are you able to sort of express your story like through this kind of like brand that you've created?
Well, I think that's such a good question, Tess. Thanks. I think that ultimately I really try to think when I design my collection, I'm trying to design for stuff that isn't out there. And so much fashion is really managed by the patriarchy. Let's just be honest. Women's fashion, A, isn't valued by society. It's considered frivolous. But it's also mostly invested in by men. So I, as a buyer for a store, been in this business for so long. I've worked for big retailers, small retailers. It's either matronly or it's overtly sexual. And I don't really design like that for my customers. I try to think about what women want to wear on a daily basis and thinking outside of what people think they want. And what people think they want is to look 10 pounds thinner and to be in all black if they have curves. That's not really the truth. Women want to have fun with their clothes. They want to wear color. They want to feel good, and they want to be able to be comfortable in something that they're wearing. And so I really try to design around that you should open your closet and see pieces from me and smile because it's a silly print or it's a fun color or it just makes you feel good, and you're not going to get rid of it next season because it shouldn't go out of style.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm so not in the fashion world at all, so my whatever, but something I've never, like, you know, I've always just had favorite pieces that I wore probably too much, you know, but yeah, the idea of like not wearing something again or it going out of season or out of style, I'm like, no, it's not. When you have a limited closet, you're like, that's not my option.
No, it's like, no, if it looks good, it looks good.
If I love it, yeah, like if I have a dress that I love, I'm going to be wearing that for years, you know, and that's, yeah, I feel like so many of your pieces I've heard of serotonin dressing lately where people just wear like, yeah, the bright colors and just things that like really make them happy. And I feel like, yeah, that's kind of like what you feel when you walk into your stores that, you know.
Oh, you're just educating me on new fashion terms because I haven't even heard of that. But I guess that, yeah, I guess inadvertently I'm doing that. Yeah. I mean, I think that one of like the unique things about what I do that is to my detriment is that I do a lot of the sewing myself. Like a really good amount of it. And it's not just because it's important to me for people to understand that sewing is really, really hard work and it should really be valued. Yeah. And it's skilled labor. You can't just have anybody know how to make a dress. When we buy things so cheaply, there's a huge environmental impact as well as a humanitarian impact that is pretty devastating. So for me, being involved in that process is super important. But also very selfishly, something that I learned in therapy was that as a kid, in order to sort of cope with how I grew up, which wasn't terrible, but, you know, we all have our stuff growing up.
Of course.
I sewed. And so during the hardest times of my life, getting behind a sewing machine and learning how to manipulate fabric gave me not only a sense of control and peace, but enabled me to literally sew myself a living and take care of myself financially and physically and emotionally. So that's all kind of thrown in there.
Yeah, I think like the retention of like a craft or a skill is like not to be understated, of just like if I can always do this, I can always work. Like it's a really empowering thing, I think, to be like, this is a thing that I can do and I'm fucking good at it and I can always apply it. It gives you like a nice little level of freedom.
Absolutely. And safety, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and like to your point about like the, you know, the difference between like pieces like that and fast fashion, I think like that's something that I learned as I got older, is like you're so much better off having like nice pieces that you can wear over and over again that are gonna last you forever than fast fashion pieces that are just gonna go into a landfill. You're gonna end up spending just as much money on those like less expensive pieces because they don't last as long.
Yeah.
Like,
and all those businesses put their clothes, like they throw away so much clothes because they're supposed to turn them around so much. So like, not only are they getting thrown away by people who wear them because they don't last, but they also like,
100%.
The destruction that they do.
I think if there's one main thing that I could tell people how to be a little bit more sustainable, it's just to look at product that's made in the U.S. The amount of times that product is shipped back and forth overseas to be made, if you really think about the expense on the environment and the actual cost of that, that's coming, but that they do that because of the differences in labor costs. So you're really hitting a lot of issues as far as living wages and humanitarian rights and environmental rights. So just that, and you're going to pay more because it costs more to make product here. And we've really done a doozy on shrinking our garment industry down to almost nothing. So, you know, keep those people in work and keep things off of ships and planes going across the globe for no reason. And try to buy US made, you know, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I took a class at your store a few weeks ago where one of your assistants like showed me how to make a little tote bag, and just how many steps went into just making a simple tote bag. And to be fair, I have not sewed anything since home ec, but I was like very impressed by how what it took to make that, and then also horrified at the idea that like you could buy that for $5 if it was made overseas.
Right. And like tote bags especially, we're all like, what? That's, yeah.
Yeah. and just for that. And I was like, this is a relatively simple piece. And then looking at other things that you get at these places for like, you know, just as cheap. And you're like, oh my God, this took a person like an hour or hours to make. And this is how little their work was valued. And it's physical labor.
It's physical labor and it's skilled labor. And I think that you fell into my evil trap there, Brandy, because the entire reason why I started offering sewing classes, which I started offering mm-hmm. many years ago, but with COVID, we had to shut them down for a little while, was because I would hear occasionally people come into my store and say, $128 for a dress, that's why is it so expensive? And I would get so frustrated, and I was like, instead of getting frustrated with how people are perceiving the cost of my physical labor and the importance of it, why don't I just show people how hard it is to sew by offering these classes? And not only do I get this little income stream, but I can change people's mind one at a time and really show them why this work is hard and should be valued more.
Well, you did exactly that. I've also gotten several compliments on the bag, which is really fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I gotta take one of these. Yeah. We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Haley.
Great job. Crushed it.
Nailed it.
We're going to ask you some random questions. And you know what that means. Time for a theme song.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, my God. I can't. It's just like, so
random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Now I'm craving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My God.
Random.
Okay, if you can't tell what the name of the segment is, that's a random.
I love it. All right, Haley, which person in your life is most likely to be a secret time traveler?
Ooh.
My dad.
your face reacting to me, this is beautiful.
My dad. Yes. I swear, he was not born in 1950. He was born in 1850. Like, he's been an old man since he was 5 years old. He's seen every war. He wasn't just in the Navy. Like, he says he was in the Navy, but he talks about planes and battles and ships as though he's seen all of them. My dad.
Does he like World War II documentaries?
Oh, yeah. Never been awake for one of them, only slept through all of them. But seems to
is he like building ships kind of guy?
He actually built airplanes for a long time, flew them, and that just constantly taking me to air shows and shipyards. Yeah. Yeah, all kinds of stuff that 13-year-old girls really are interested in doing on their weekends.
Especially ones who are like, I really want to sew. Can you get me the pattern?
Yeah. Yeah.
Make a dress. Exactly.
Okay.
I love that. Oh my
what
gosh.
Is the biggest risk you have ever taken?
Opening my Silver Lake store was a huge risk. I opened that store during the it was right after the all shut down, and on the outdoor dining was shut down, restaurants weren't open during that time. A friend of mine said, hey, are you interested? It's next to the Muddy Paw coffee shop over there, which is next to my Eagle Rock store. And I said, of course, I'm not interested. That is actually insane. And he said,
that
just
is
go
insane.
Look. It's insane. And he said, go talk to the landlord. And I did. And there were two spaces for lease. And I looked at it and said, this is a stupid idea. I'll take both. and I'll knock the wall down and make it nice and big. And it was... I didn't have any signs. I didn't have any cool dreams of anyone telling me I should do it. I didn't even tell anyone about it because it was insane. But I got an incredible price for obvious reasons that I'm locked into. And that store has been a godsend. It's been so wonderful. But man, the opening day, the very first person who walked in was a man having a mental health crisis who started yelling at me like he was going to kill me. So I shut the door and
oh my God.
Went into the fitting room and started crying and like, oh. what have I done? Like, this was so stupid. But it, you know, we pushed through and now it's been wonderful. So.
Wow.
Wow.
Fuck yeah. How long between when you opened and when you realized it was going to, like, it was a good idea?
I would say about a month. It
oh,
was,
nice.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. I mean, I think what happened, and it's still true, you know, we all know this world is fucking crazy. And fashion is a reflection of what's going on in the world. So business is way up and down all the time. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have a store that is on Sunset Boulevard in Silver Lake, you get so much foot traffic from tourists. So when Eagle Rock, which is a neighborhood store, lots of locals, when they're not shopping, right. Silver Lake is, and vice versa. So I very quickly saw that pattern where I'm, you know, pacing the floor in Eagle Rock going, oh my God, is this my last day in business? And then I hear ding, ding, ding coming from Silver Lake and I can sleep that night. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's such a, yeah. I mean, I really admire that because I feel like, you know, the only thing I know about business is from Shark Tank. And, you know, they're always like, oh, be careful about going brick and mortar. You know what I mean? It's yeah. I just know it must be insanely difficult. And I've lived in Silver Lake for 15 years. So I've like seen, you know, it change so much. And I mean, even the area right next to your store, it's like they're I don't know. What are they building there? Do you know?
Oh.
It's probably going to be other stores.
They're
who knows?
You know, they're those those ruiners that come to town in every good place and they just demolish everything and kick out all the tenants and redo, I think it's 18 storefronts that they're redoing. And the price of them is about 8 times what I'm paying,
which
I don't want to give away because they're not supposed to say what it is. But it is so unbelievable that the only way anyone can make it in those spaces is if it's like a corporation that just can write it off as marketing. Like, oh, look, we're in Silver
Lake. Of course, yeah.
So,
yeah, that's what I'm seeing is crazy. You know, it's like when I first moved in, there were smaller stores and now it's like Shake Shack. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's only big companies can afford to. Anyway, this is aside the point. But I just, you know, it's I really admire like because I've seen I feel like your store is so like still in the right vibe and like, you know, very welcoming. And it's not like, I feel like some stores you walk by and you know, it's like the kind of, you're like scared to go in. Cause you're like, there's like one t-shirt hanging up or something. Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for being a clothing store with actual clothing inside of it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I try to keep
giving off that vibe.
Well, I think also just like, I don't ever want to go into a store where I feel like that. I want my stores to feel like I have couches in both my stores. Cause I want it to feel like you're walking into my apartment. Like let's be honest. Yeah. You're not walking into my house. This is LA. No one can afford a house. But I want you to be able to feel like you can come in and just sit and chill. So, you know, hopefully, luckily, I have very good landlords in both locations who are not into those big guys. And they want to keep us nice and safe because there's really no landlord or tenant protection for commercial. So to find a couple of good people, I got really, really, really lucky.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome. I also really love that, like, so for those that don't live in LA, Muddy Paws, like this very cute, like, little coffee shop that's extremely dog friendly. And I really love that you were next to both of the locations because it's like a really perfect pairing, I think.
I think it's really funny when people come from the coffee shop that is filled with dogs and dog parks and dog things. And coffee. And they walk into my store and say, oh, I didn't know Muddy Paw had a boutique next door. No, it's a different business. It's very hard for people to understand that because we're connected on both spots. So it's always a funny conversation.
That's so funny.
Okay, Haley, what's the sneakiest thing you ever did as a child?
Oh, this is a good one. So my stepfather, not my time traveling biological father, is probably one of the like most OCD people I've ever met in my life. Like he can see everything. Any book is out of place, he knows. So one day I was riding my skateboard in the house, which you're not supposed to do. And
yeah,
it went,
as you do, yeah.
Yeah. And it went right through the drywall and made a huge hole, like trucks and all. And I was like, oh, crap. So I went to the garage. I got some tape. I got some spackle, I got some sandpaper and some paint, and I covered that hole up. But of course, it didn't look exactly the way that it would have, and he would have instantly noticed the minute he came home because he's a spy like that. So I looked at that whole wall, which was about 10 feet wide, and I moved the grandfather's clock, the Monet art print, the family portraits all over 5 inches to the left. And to cover the hole on the bottom. And he never found out until we moved out of that house and someone moved that grandfather's clock. And he immediately saw it.
That is amazing.
That's super impressive.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I love that. That's like a parent trap level of deception.
Yeah.
Really, I can't
bravo.
Believe I got away with it. Yes. Thank you.
I love it. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay. Which monster movie would you have the easiest time, or which movie monster would you have the easiest time beating in a fight?
Shit, that's a hard one. I don't like scary movies, so I'm afraid of monsters, like completely. Like,
I think you got like the basics, you know, like
yeah,
there's like Elmo.
I guess he's a monster.
I guess Elmo's a monster.
Honestly,
Tess is like,
I would lose to all of them.
You don't think you could beat Elmo?
I don't believe that.
I would be so sad. I'd be like, come here, kid.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to beat Elmo.
No, like it's not which one Tess do you want to beat to up. It's which one could you beat up? And, you know.
I mean, honestly, I'd run from all of them. I think about Chucky and I'm just out the door. Like, I know I could, in theory, kick them all. I'd be like, no, they'd all take me down, every single one of them.
That's good to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, here's a thought. If you're ever in a situation, you could sew some blackout curtains and then try to keep a vampire at bay until the sun comes up and then expose them.
Yeah, you could sew your way out of it.
You could sew your way out of it.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think of myself as more of like a grounded fighter. Like if you're a human, I could.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'll take you down. But monster, No. I can't. I can't. I'm in a ball. I can't watch a scary movie commercial. Like, I freak out. And I have to turn the TV off.
Oh. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I get it. I'm not a huge horror movie fan either. I like spooky stuff, but not scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chucky ruined my childhood in a big way.
Oh, same. So. And Pet Sematary.
Awful. Awful movie.
No. That was one where, like, I never even saw it, but just knowing it was out there scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I take it back. I take it all back. Freddy Krueger, I got better scissor skills.
Yeah.
There we go.
Perfect answer.
That's amazing.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Haley.
Yay, Haley. We're going to give some advice. How do you feel about that? I feel like you're going to be great at this.
Mm-hmm. I'm
no pressure.
So excited. As long as it's unsolicited.
Well, it's solicited. Solicited. Yeah. In a good way. People know what they're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think.
Yeah. If you want advice, why don't you give us a phone call? Our phone number is 323-6-BUT-30. And no, we're not going to spell it out. You've got to figure that out. And then you can email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. I heard you needed lady problems on this latest episode, so I've got a real stupid one for you. So I'm getting married. I'm planning it. It's very non-traditional. We're walking ourselves up the aisle to get hitched. We're doing the whole hand fasting, tying the knot, etc. I have planned literally everything, which that's okay because I like to plan literally everything. But I've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, who wants to make a speech at the wedding? Okay, who wants to wear a corsage or a boutonniere at the wedding? Should I? I feel like I planned this whole thing for me and my fiance, which is who it's all about. And now I'm to the point where I should maybe ask people if they want to be included in wearing certain things. And I feel like if they wanted to, they would reach out. I don't know. It's dumb. It's a stupid problem. But help me solve it. Should I spend additional money on unnecessary things, or should I save my money and not worry about it? I probably just answered this myself, but feel free to, you know, tell me what to do. I appreciate it, and I love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I see Haley has a lot of thoughts already.
Oh, yeah. I planned my wedding with my husband. And I learned so much. I got this one. First of all, I love the acknowledgement of I'm feeling resentful that I'm planning everything, except it, I enjoy it. So therefore that those two kind of cancel each other out. So, also just add a little on to that of no one knows how to help you when you're a very capable person, which we were talking about earlier. So yes, you do need to ask for help. And if you are feeling like you want to be in a lot of control and really want to plan things to be exactly perfectly, you can still do that and ask someone to come in and fill that position for you. So you can say, hey, I would love a ring bearer, but I want I want you to wear this outfit and perform this duty. Is that something that you can do? And lay out the parameters and just approach people, because no one is going to come forward, not only because they feel that you have it and you would have asked, but also because people just have busy lives. And when you plan a wedding, it feels like it's the center of the universe, but it's just the center of your universe. Everyone else has their own little things going on.
Totally. Yes. Yeah, I feel like, so she's asking specifically like about planning, I guess those details of speeches and like you said, I don't know. I'm guessing she would have already planned like who's in her wedding party, but I don't know. Yeah, so it's those specific things she's asking about, which I guess I hadn't really considered that. But I guess I feel like, yeah, you need to ask people, right? Because like I would never be like, I would never be like, can I make a speech at your wedding? Like, I would definitely have to be asked.
Yeah. People aren't going to assume that you want that unless you ask them.
Yeah. And also, if that was the case, you would only get asked by people that you don't giving speeches at your wedding.
Right.
It happened to me. And I had to say,
oh, no.
Yes. It was, we'll talk about that later.
Did you say no?
I said yes. I felt browbeat into it and it was very awkward, but yeah.
I mean, honestly, be glad no one's asking.
Yeah, yeah, because you're right. I do think that happens sometimes.
Yeah. Send an email, girl. Send an email and just say, hey, these are the things I need. I would be honored if any of you want to do it. Like,
all of you, I would love to give a speech, because you might ask someone who's super shy and doesn't want to give a speech. So ask 5 people, expect 4 people to be honored and want to do it, and ask 1 people to say, I'd love to, but I'm terrified. No, thank you.
And be honest about how much you have like available to like deal with that project. If it's like, hey, I have a reading that I want to pick out for you to read. I want you to kind of run with the ball. Whatever your level of involvement you want to be, just articulate that. People are going to be happy to help. They'll be more than happy to help.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think figure out, what are your parameters like? I think if you feel like stuff is extra and you don't want to pay for it, then don't. You know, I have seen a lot of times where people didn't buy the boutonniere or stuff like that, and they were totally fine with it. They were like, I didn't miss it. That was an extra $300 I didn't need to spend, you know?
Yeah.
So I think if your instinct is towards some of that stuff where you're like, I'm not going to miss it, then I think go with that. Yeah. Obviously, for speeches and stuff, that's different because that's not something you're like buying. But if there is something specific you want people to wear, you know, just put that in the email too. Be like, you know, this is what I was thinking. Obviously, if anyone is, you need to decide if you want, if that's flexible or not. So you can say, if people have issues, let me know. Or you can be like, this is what people are wearing. If you're in, let me know.
Also, you can trade gifts for services, which I did. I literally said in lieu of a wedding gift, friend of mine, would you please pick up 250 chairs and drive them to the desert since you have a pickup truck? And he was like, gladly. And I wouldn't accept the gift. That was the wedding gift. And that was something he was able to do. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. I mean, friends, I there's no way I could have done my wedding without like friends helping out with services and stuff like that. Like,
Yeah,
definitely like make use of your, you know, network of people and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you decide like, you know, once photos are taken, you're like, I wish there were boutonnieres. There's always Photoshop, baby.
True.
You can do a lot. You can do a lot with Photoshop posts.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm in some Facebook group for brides and stuff, even though I haven't gotten married, but if you join one of these groups where there's a lot of, you know, people talking about their weddings, I've seen a few threads before where people have said, like, what did you wish you hadn't done, you know, and what do you regret? And I think it's kind of good to take note of those things. And a lot of times, like I said, it is like those extra things that you didn't really need to pay money for that people are like, oh, I could have done without that. So maybe kind of, you know, gather that info a little bit and see like what your gut tells you as far as like what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Babs, is that something borrowed, something new?
Yes.
Yes. That is. It's a great group. It's so good.
Join that. It's a Facebook group.
It is
something
group.
Borrowed, something new. And
I think it's really international, isn't
useful.
It?
Useful. Yeah.
Or not cool. International. All across America.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I
a huge group. So yeah, join that.
That group. Yeah. I borrowed stuff I bought stuff and then just sold it back through the group the next day. It was awesome.
Yeah, actually, that Facebook group, I had I got like a couple of free things, like that box that you have people put cards in.
Oh,
someone
cool.
was like giving away that for free. I got I think my cake stand for free off there, and then I gave it back away on the group. So like, definitely join those groups because people are getting rid of stuff that you might not have to pay full price for.
And literally any question you have, someone has already asked, so you can just search like a keyword and be like, oh, okay, here's all the people, you know, who have thoughts on this. So
yeah.
You got this. Rad. It's going to be great. We're excited for you.
Congrats.
Send us pics.
Yeah.
Yeah, send us pics, boutonniere or no.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
Hi, ladies. I have a lady problem. And that is, I would really like to move to Los Angeles. Currently, I live, I'll just say, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest region. And I feel like I don't really have a solid friend group in here anymore. The weather is really depressing me. The dating pool is the absolute worst of the worst. So I'm wondering if LA would fix any of my problems or make them worse. So let me know if that's the case. I feel like I have a lot of friends there now and kind of always wanted to live there in the past like decade or so. I've always thought about it. So yeah, just let me know if that'd be the right direction or the wrong direction. Thanks.
I mean, the answer to your question is yes.
I think it's important that I'm glad that you do have friends that live here. I mean, I think, yeah, that helps with that, the friend part of it. I mean, yeah, it's a great place to live. Even moving here under the best circumstances, the first year or two are going to be brutal. Mm-hmm. It's what LA does. When you move here, it will.
What is like brutal about living here at first?
Oh, just
I didn't have that experience, so I don't know. A lot of people say that, but I didn't. I lucked out, I think.
Oh, I mean, just like being. It's probably easier now because like I moved here, didn't have a like, was just lost all the time. Like it took a while to like get my job stuff figured out. Just learning the layout of the city. It does feel like a very lonely place. I think if you aren't pegged into a community pretty quickly, it's like hard to actually. It can be very hard to make friends. Mm-hmm. And also it's like your car gets towed so much.
Or stolen.
Or broken into.
Will happen at some point.
Parking tickets. Yeah. That's just a tax that you got to add on, that parking ticket situation.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's just learning the rhythm of the city just takes a minute. And like that very much felt like, you know, the first couple of years I was here, I was like, God damn. Okay. I thought I knew how cities worked.
I think that that's a lot. That's what I feel like a lot of people say. It's just like, it's, you know, it's a huge fucking place.
Yeah,
and
huge.
It's hard to feel, hard to like kind of join it as one of the, you know, many, many people here who are all like very much have their own thing going on and their own priorities. So it is really important, I think, to ground yourself with a community as soon as you get here. I mean, for me, that was just jumping into like comedy immediately and trying to take classes and stuff. So it's good that you do have friends and you can kind of like use that getting here. I think, you know, it's very different than when like the time when like me and Brandy moved here, because rent has gone up an insane amount. It's so expensive. It's expensive to live everywhere now, but you know, LA is obviously like bigger. So it's hard to like speak to that part, because like I sublet from a friend and then I don't know how that's going these days. I would say if you have friends looking for, you know, roommates, or if they'll let you be there for a minute, you know, I would do that while you kind of get the lay of the land and find a place you'd like to live, because I do think a lot of people move to LA and like kind of move into like shit, you know, somewhere where it's
or
like
shitty not, neighborhood, like, and then they're like, I hate LA, and it's like, well,
yes,
100%. I don't want to name check anywhere, but I think we all know where I'm talking about.
yeah, we all have a specific part of the map.
Yeah, it's
several
like you're in Hollywood, but you're north of it. And then but there's just it can really change how you see the city, like truly where you live is so important. So I think getting a like not locking yourself into too permanent of a place, if you can do a smaller amount of time where you first live, you know, and then while you maybe figure it out, and obviously you'll probably move a few times, I think that can be really helpful where you find a place that you feel comfortable, because obviously you want your home to be like as comfortable as it can be if you're living in a big city.
But like, on the upshot, I think it's like the greatest city in the world. Like, I fucking love LA. It's great. Like, the weather is awesome here. There is so much fun outdoor shit. You never run out of fun stuff to do. Everyone is so weird. It's great. Like, I love it. It's great.
I think that just to like piggyback on all of that with like, I think that the hardest part about people acclimating to LA, other than the loneliness, because it's a car-centered area, so many people are in their cars, is finding your neighborhood and really like saying, this is the place where I want to live, and really not settling on adjacency, but finding a space within there that you feel comfortable with. If you want to be able to walk to your market, find your coffee shop, find your people. It's how you're going to meet people and really start to fall in love with the city. But you do have to know the one thing about LA is that you got to work for it. You can't walk down the street and find all the great restaurants. You have to really do research and talk to people. And there's always new stuff popping up. But LA has so many secrets in little strip malls and behind little places and in weird, bizarre spots that it's hard to find that. But when you do, it's so rewarding and so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you've been thinking about it this long, it seems
good.
Yeah, it seems like something you should definitely give a shot. I mean, you can always go back if you want to, whatever, but I feel like sounds like you'll probably regret it if you don't give it a try.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
It's fucking so much fun here, and do it. Just do it.
Pop into my store. Go to the comedy show. Say hi to us. You got friends.
Yeah. Get yourself a new outfit at Haley's.
Yes, exactly.
Totally.
I can't believe I'm actually telling someone to move here. I mean, not that I would. I guess if you were asking about starting comedy here, I would have a different answer. But you're not.
I'm like, so. It's not one person. We're telling thousands of people to move here.
Just don't. Not if you're starting comedy. Don't come here if you're starting comedy.
Yeah, no. Very specific. Start that over Zoom. That's where you start comedy. Well, Haley, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been so much fun.
Thank you so much. This is awesome. You guys are so rad. So fun to talk to.
A blast.
You're the freaking best.
So glad we could have you on.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find your stuff online, where, you know, they can find you, all that.
My label is called Haley Solar. That is my real name. HaleySolar. On Instagram, a little bit on TikTok, although I'm a little too old for that. I'm not killing it. I've got two stores, Eagle Rock and Silver Lake, and then you can find me selling my wares at your local boutique. If your local boutique doesn't have me, tell them to get me.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks. Sorry.
Whoop. Well, that's okay. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Oh, hi, ladies. I was just listening to the episode where Tess was talking about how her underwear would be left sunny side up, and it reminded me of what my mom used to do to us. And so if we were leaning over, or if we were, like, kind of leaning over a chair or leaning over a counter, my mom would come up and stick her butt against our butt and fart, and then call it a fart transplant. You're welcome for that.
Hey, ladies, I am just calling to say thank you all so much for accompanying me on many road trips and just, you know, commutes from and to work. I started listening in, I believe it was 2018, when I was going through, like, a really rough breakup, and I also, like, lost a lot of friends in that breakup, and so listening to you all just talk about, like, day-to-day things, whether they be big or small, just has helped me a lot through the years. And I fucking love just laughing. I love all the laughter that you all just naturally give to so many of us. So thank you so much. Congratulations on 10 years. And I look forward to continuing listening to you all. Appreciate you. Much love.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.